You are listening to the Victory Podcast. We hope this message will find favor in your life. For more updates about Victory, log on to victory.org.ph and bookmark our website in your browser. Now, here's your message.
There was a story of a jeweler who was selling gold, all right? So he's looking for someone who could buy his gold. And so this jeweler went inside a church, just like here. Nagbibenta siya ng ginto, no? So he approached one of the brethren, all right? He's basically wants to be Christianese, speaking the same language of Christians. He approached a person, he say, Brother, gusto mong bumili ng ginto? Genuine tong gintong ito. Sabi niya gano'n. Genuine ang ginto. Sabi, brother, bili ka ng gold. Genuine. Alam mo ba, paano malaman kung genuine ang gold? Izaw-zaw mo, itbabad mo sa zuka. Para malaman mo genuine ang gold. Naintindihan niyo ba? Alright. Kasi ganun daw eh. Alright. Kapag kumupas ang gold, fake ang zuka. Pag nabuti ang gold, ang tawag, white gold. Pag nanilaw ang gold, nanilaw, yellow gold. Pag nangitim, black gold. Gold, alright. Why gold? You know, guess what? Gold is not just a color. And our sister there is really right. It speaks of the substance. It speaks of the value. It speaks of the scarcity. And during the early days, it's so hard to get a gold. You have to break a boulder to get a gram or grams of gold. In fact, when you give a gold, it speaks of what? It's precious metal given to kings because of the value of the kingdom and his kingship. It is based on quantity and the value of its gold. And up to now, the value of a nation is based on the reserves, or what you call gold reserves. Am I right? Alam niyo po ba, the gold is the highest form of all metal. You put it in the acid, all right? Still, it wouldn't change its color. That's how precious this gold is. And you will give this gold to a person based on who he is, his worth, being a noble person, who he is in our lives. Why gold? It represents royalty. It represents kingship, rulership. That right from the very beginning when Jesus was born, he was declared king already. Jesus is king, whether we like it or not. Before he became a savior, he was already king. And because of that, there were men who so-called magis, they were wise men. If they're wise men, how many of you know that? They know exactly what they're doing. And yet they've been searching for years. They've been studying. All they could do in their lives is for them to encounter this king, the exact date where this king will be found. Suddenly, boom, they encountered the king, and that is Jesus. I believe we could learn from how the Magi's responded when they encountered the King Jesus. When we encountered the presence of this king, how do we respond? The Bible tells us in verse 11, it says there, they bow down and they worship him. First things first, number one, when they encounter Jesus, they bow down to the king. In other words, they plead allegiance to their king. They don't know who this baby was that time. But yet, when they encounter him, they knew exactly. Jesus was actually 2 years old then. All right, when the Magi found him. But what happened was they bowed down to this king. What does bowing down means? Bowing down means what? It means total surrender. It means absolute obedience. I hope we deal with Christianity as something that we give honor to whom honor is due. Since Jesus is King, we don't have actually choice. We are His subjects. And we bow down, not for once, but every single day, we bow down, pledging allegiance to our loyalty to Him. Pleading allegiance as what? Total surrender. Are there areas in your life that you have not bowed down to Jesus yet? Are there areas in your life that you know Jesus is not King? He is not the ruler of that area, that it's still you are the King of that area of your lives? Are there some areas in your life that you know that you, when you encounter Jesus, especially this season, that when we see the color gold, it speaks of what? Bowing down, pledging our allegiance to our Creator, our Maker, and our King. It's placing ourselves under His authority by obeying whatever He says. You know, one good thing about us is we know God has given us the Holy Spirit for us to know, for us to discern what is right and what is wrong. The issue here today is this. Does our lives under His authority, His rulership, and His words? What are those? What are those? This man, Magi, went to the right to the very place. All their lives were focused seeking for the King, an encounter with the King. Think about that. All their lives as wise men, they would study and search for this King. They would dedicate, give their full attention just for them to encounter this King. And guess what? Today, anytime you call the King, He's there. Anywhere, anytime you call Him, He's there. Because that's His desire. But yet, what He wants, total surrender, absolute obedience. Would you bow down? Would you obey the King? There was an interesting story back in the 1800s by the third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson. And this guy was very well known as one of the signatories of the Constitution, all right, of the United States Constitution. He basically did not believe Jesus Christ to be a divine reason, all right, to be divine. So he held a copy of the New Testament in one hand and a razor to the other by producing a cut and paste version of his own Thomas Jefferson Bible. All right, he would cut and paste because in his own mind he can't understand it. Really, Jesus is God? Jesus? And yet, according to this respected commentator by the name of Warren Wiersbe, here's what he says: I find it interesting that so many people, like Thomas Jefferson, want a God made in their own image, one that they agree with, one that they can understand and maybe even control. Imagine, a lot of people are like that. They just wanted what they want, but not what Jesus wants. That's why they would cut paste. Oh, that's not, this scripture doesn't refer to me. Or probably this one, but not this one. Why is that? Because we tend to cut and paste His kingship in our life as well. Jesus being our King must be given the right. He is King. He rules, have the authority. We must be given the right to influence our whole life, meaning 100%. Every fiber of your being must be submitted to His kingship, His rulership, His lordship, and not just part and parcel of our life where we feel convenient. Dapat lahat surrender kay God. Yung pera dapat surrender kay life. Kung yung pera natin, wala ho tayong pag-uusapan. Giving out to missions. It's so, wow, it's so encouraging. Wow, grabe nangyayari yung mundo, yung Saudi Arabia, na pe-penetrate ng gospel. But do you realize it takes our money to invest into the kingdom of God? If that's the case, if Jesus is king, then there's no problem of giving to the tithes and offering. There is no problem in giving to advance the kingdom of God. There is no problem if giving up something that is not worth living for because you don't bring glory and honor to your king. Ladies and gentlemen, would you bow down and surrender an absolute obedience to God and His will? John chapter 18, verse 37. You are king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying, I am king. In fact, for this reason, I was born. For this, I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. I hope we don't just cut and paste, that we're selective based on God's word. But everything that He says matters. Whatever the king says, let your will be done. Lord, just like the Magi, I bow down to your rulership because of who you are. Can you say amen to that? Amen. They didn't just bow down. Guess what? They worshiped. In the Old Testament, you know what worship means? Worship means falling prostrate to the ground. That's what the worship in the Old Testament means. In the New Testament, the word worship here means what? It means to kiss the hand towards one in reverence. To kiss the hand. You know, I thank God that I live in the New Testament. And you know why worship? Because it's personal. It's just like seeing President Noynoy, that being the president. Yes, he's the president of all Filipinos. But the difference is, you can be close to that president. Real, real close. That you can get into his inner chamber. Anytime, anywhere. And the point is, you could worship. And I believe that's who Jesus is to us. He is king, ruler, master. Those Magi bowed down in worship. And actually, it's a practice of the Orientals, the Persians, that they fall upon the knees when they encounter the king. Guess what? Worship is also given by kneeling to show respect, honor, and reverence. Why he is king. And that is why if we're here to honor him. We could bow down, kneel down, lift our hands. In total worship. Why do you think people have a hard time worshiping Jesus? Di nga makataas ng kamay. You know, I believe because of an encounter. If we are thankful to what Christ has done in our lives, if you have a revelation of the blood of Jesus that is personal to you, guess what? It's automatic. Just to get down on our knees every morning, not just every day, lifting up our hands as a sign of our gratefulness to what He has done. He's not just king based because He is king. No, He did something to me personally. He saved me. I could have died a long time ago. I could have lost my marriage. I could have lost my son. I could have lost my business. But this king was so good. That's why he deserves my worship. Everybody say worship. Worship. Knowing Jesus our King will enable us to truly worship him. To the degree that you know God's word is to the degree that you will worship him. How much you know God, how much you know Jesus in your lives is to that degree that you will worship. You can't fake it. It's so easy sometimes to lift up our hands and think of something. But you know what? With God, God knows our hearts. In fact, here's what He says. I'm seeking for those who will worship me in spirit and in truth. You can't fake it. It's an encounter with Jesus. When you encounter Christ, we could worship God with all. We could love God with all. Why? Because He is not just King. He is my King Jesus. And I will bow down and worship Jesus. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Worship actually is a contraction of two words, worth and ship. When you put together, worship means what? To honor what is honorable. In this church, our desire is not just to plant churches, make disciples. First of all, foremost importance, we honor God. We honor Jesus. Because every one of us, in order to make disciples, we need to follow Jesus and Him be King, Lord of our lives. And that is why worship is important. That's why He in this very place, I hope you would not come late in worship. Why? Because that is your ministry to God. God's ministry to you is this word. But every single morning, every Sunday, even your own person, it's not a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing. You give time to worship the Maker, the Creator, your King and Lord. Why? Because He deserves it. Can you say amen? Amen. Anyway, in heaven, we're all going to worship Jesus. You better do it right here, right now. But kapag maging tayo ng heaven, and dito pa lang, it's already eternal life. It starts right here on earth. That's why worshiping Jesus is not an issue, is not a problem. That's why Thursday, it's a prayer and worship night. We worship our King first before we pray. And revelation after revelation would just start coming. God's word would start to bring unto people that would build them up and edify them. Why? Because first, we encounter our King. Just last Friday, there was no preaching of God's word. This place was packed. There were no chairs. Young people, students, just like Mark, was standing here worshiping God, and they encountered Jesus. They were telling me the presence of God just came here to this very place, and people were crying and worshiping, bowing down their knees. They were shouting in glory. They were shouting with all of their might. Why? Because they encountered Jesus during the time of worship. And that is what a church is about, my friends. It's about putting Him first. He deserves our worship. Can you say amen? Amen. Folks, Jesus is not just the baby in the manger. I want to say that. Thank God He came. But He's not a baby in the manger. Jesus is the King of glory. With all His glory, might, and power shines upon us. That He's alive. And He is King who is on my side. That's why we're here as victorious, overcomer Christians. Why? Because of our King Jesus. Don't you ever forget that He's alive. And because of that, I want to say this. Your kingship is only as good as the duration of your age, of your reign. I'm sorry. Your kingship is only as good as the duration of your reign. Where is the King of Pop right now? You can't see Him around, but you can check Him on YouTube. Where's the King of Rock and Roll? He was King. And after Him, we don't know who's next. How about Jack King? Who's supposed to be the president. But yet, when he used his left hand, and he uses punches, Totoy Bato. Peping Galiwete. What about the king of comedy? Who used to be that guy, but right now is being dethroned by the so-called Enteng Cabisote. You don't have this picture. The longest monarchical king who reigned for 82 years, the longest. Guess who this guy is? The king of Swaziland, Sobhuza II. As far as history is concerned, he's the longest reigning king. If we have the longest reigning king, guess what? We have the shortest reigning king. For 15 to 20 minutes during the time of the French Revolution, that King Charles, they had a revolution, but they gave it to his son. He gave it to his son, but the people didn't want it. He was king for 15 minutes by King Louis the 19th of France, but he was dethroned by the people. Previous kingdoms and world empires have come and gone. Persian, Babylonian, Greek, Roman empires. Let me tell you this, rulers come and go, but Christ reigns and rules forever. Jesus doesn't longer in the manger. He sits on the throne, and he can sit at the throne of our very hearts. Are you here with me? Revelations 11:15 says, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, which says, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will reign what? Forever and ever. Revelations 1, verse 5 to 6 says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on the earth. He's the ruler of the kings on the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, verse 6, and made us kingdom priests to his God and Father. To him be glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. God is not just the reigning king, but he made us part of his kingdom, that we could rule and reign and advance his kingdom through us. My friends, there is an unfinished business. That's why we're making disciples. We're planting churches. Literally, listen, we're changing the world. We're changing the world. And it takes one student at a time, one fathers at a time, one wives at a time, one families at a time. I believe totally in my heart, no doubt, we could transform Metro East. We could transform every villages here. It takes you to do it. Why? Because Jesus rules and reigns, and he made us to be kings and priests as well. Jesus is the ruler of kings. Of all there, he's the president of all presidents, the prime minister of all prime ministers, the king of kings and the lord of lords. He's the son of the highest, the Messiah, the king who is reigning now in heaven and earth forever and ever. Folks, the best Christmas gift that we could ever give to Christ is what? Your life. Why? Because Jesus, our King, who rules and reigns forever. Let me question, which side are you on? You might be coming to the church. You might be coming to Victory. This might be your first time. But let me tell you this, are you on his side? Are you? Another response of the Magi's. They bow down, they worship. But after that, the Bible tells us, they opened their treasure and presented to offer gifts of gold. Gifts of gold. A lady says, expensive. Another one says, precious. Another lady says, valuable. You have to realize, when Jesus came here on earth, it was him whom gifts were given. Have you ever thought of that Christmas is about giving gifts? Well, yeah, it's about giving gifts first to Jesus. This season, what is that precious, valuable costly gift. Not based on what you want to give him, but based on what Christ wants and desires for you to give back to him. You have to realize when we want gifts, it's something that you desire. It's something that you pray about. Oh, I want this gift for Christmas. I want this kind of gift this season. Oh boy, Lord, remember that? It's what we want. It's our desire. Guess what? We're giving Jesus a gift. What is it that he wants? What is it that he desires from you and I to give him this season? What is that gift? I don't have the answer. I'm not you. But you have your conscience. You have the Holy Spirit. You can hear God. And you don't have to hear God. You know deep within you that this is the one I need to give Jesus this Christmas. That's why it's not about us. It's about what he wants. We could bow down to God, giving our full trust, our will in submission to his rulership. We can worship God right now because of what he has done. But what about your gifts to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? What is that gold that Jesus wants and desires in our lives? Would you give God gift, that gold, this Christmas? It starts today. And I want us right now to worship Jesus. I want us just to feel free, leave our hands, worship Jesus. And whatever God would speak to us, I hope you'll just be that person and say, Lord, I have not bowing down. I have not surrendered my will. Lord, for a long time, the longest time, I'm withholding this gold. But I realize this is what you want. I want to give it to you. Can we all stand up right now on our feet? I believe he deserves our worship. And he deserves the gift that we could give God, the gold gift that he deserves.